Welcome to Your Personnel File, a podcast from U.S. Army Human Resources Command. Your Personnel File explores the programs, policies, and initiatives designed to serve you, the soldier, veteran, and family member. Now, let's join our host and find out what's inside Your Personnel File at HRC.
Hello, thanks for joining us on Your Personnel File. We're back in the studio today and bringing you the latest information on programs, policies, and initiatives underway here at the U.S. Army Human Resources Command in Fort Knox. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll find this episode informative and enlightening. If you enjoy it, share it with your friends. Today, I'm talking with Captain Caritha Robinson and Sergeant First Class Joshua Jensen with the Reserve Personnel Management Directorate's Strategic Sourcing Branch. The topic of our discussion is the U.S. Army's Individual Ready Reserve. You may know it as the IRR. Here at HRC, we are tasked with the unique responsibility to manage the IRR, which is under the administrative jurisdiction of the HRC Commander, Major General Thomas Drew. The majority of soldiers who join the IRR do so because they have a remaining statutory military service obligation, though many choose to stay longer, and we'll get into that in a bit. Although the numbers vary from day to day, the IRR is about 100,000 soldiers strong. It includes individuals who have previously served in the active Army or selected reserve and could be called upon in different times of crisis by the President of the United States to augment the active Army. Thanks for joining me today, Captain Robinson and Sergeant First Class Jensen.
Thank you so much for having us, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having us.
All right, so let's get started. Tell me about the Strategic Sourcing Branch.
Okay, ma'am. So we refer to ourselves as SSB. We were created during the RPMD's reorganization about 7 months ago, so we're a fairly new branch. We are a merge of three separate teams, the IRR team, IMA team, and the Mobilization Operations team. We share the same mission during wartime, but during peacetime, we kind of have our own lanes.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you for that. So let's talk about how does the IRR support the Army's overall readiness?
So the IRR is a mobilization ready force in the event of a national emergency or wartime event. The IRR could be called up to active service anytime in need. So we consider the population a mobilization asset.
Okay, great. What are the roles and responsibility of an IRR soldier?
So in short, I would say responsibility would be to answer the mail. But more importantly, ensure that the Army, HRC, is tracking the most current contact information for the IRR soldier so that you can receive that mail. I'll add, IRR soldiers are obligated to keep HRC informed of any changes of contact information, marital status, civilian employment, education certifications, and importantly, physical or medical conditions which can affect their ability to mobilize. So whenever we have a soldier who comes into the IRR, the first piece of mail they'll receive is a welcome letter, and this will provide all the information that they need to be an asset to the IRR population. So, and I cannot express the importance of responding to any mail that's received from HRC. Sometimes due to a lack of response, the soldier could be involuntarily discharged. So okay. That is important to answer the mail.
Okay, so then we go back to the original purpose that we talked about for the Strategic Sourcing Branch. So over the IRR, IMA, and mobilization operations, you said?
Correct.
So what that means is you all provide administrative support to IRR soldiers? Okay, got
it. Yes, ma'am. We manage both of those populations.
Okay, so when they answer the mail, staying in contact, that's because you all provide that administrative role and function for them to stay connected?
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. Got it. So let's talk about how someone would enter the IRR then. Do they know they're entering the IRR? And then also, how do they do that?
Well, there's a voluntary way to transfer to the IRR, which is most known. Most soldiers are obligated for 8 years in general.
The military service obligation?
Correct. That's their military service obligation.
Okay.
So for officers, though, they are typically obligated with that military service obligation of 8 years. Mm-hmm. Now, how long they have to participate as, say, a reservist or National Guardsman, they're going to have to look at AR 135-155, Table 2-1. And that'll determine, based on their commissioning source, how long they need to continue to drill.
And those details would be in the contract that they signed
For enlisted soldiers, absolutely, that would be inside of their DD Form 4 and their DA 3540.
Okay. And so I remember my contract when I commissioned through ROTC.
Yep, there would be a commissioning contract. It'll lay everything out in there. But again, that's going to be governed by that regulatory table based on the commissioning source.
Sure.
And ma'am, if I may add, and this is for officers specifically, the MSO letter, you'll receive that in the mail at the end of those 8 years for an officer who is an IR soldier. However, in the event that the soldier does not respond to say that, yes, I want to continue service, or no, I want to get out, they will automatically be discharged. And so, and a lot of times we do see that during promotion time. So we'll see soldiers who have made the promotion list to be considered for promotion, but we have to drop their name because they're in a pending status to be discharged. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty important, and we get a lot of cases that we don't want to have to send you to an unnecessary special board for promotion.
Right, okay, so we're gonna get into some important parts then, and those are great segues. Let's talk about when a soldier has met the end of their military service obligation. What are the benefits then to staying in the IRR, or rather staying connected with you all to have updated information during IRR service?
Absolutely. So they'll continue to be an asset in the IRR. You know, if they need to take a knee for a little bit, say they got some family stuff going on, or just have other just life happening, and they want to remain affiliated with the military and they just want to take a few year gap, stay in the IRR. It's a great idea. Then when they're ready, go see a retention NCO and they can come back into service. Another reason would be the ability to earn retirement points while you're in the IRR.
Okay.
You can still have a good year for a reserve retirement while you're in the IRR by earning 50 points a year. Now, you'd have to attach to a unit first prior to performing duty, but if they do want more details, they can always email our team box and we can provide them basically like a how to do that. And our email box will be linked inside the show notes.
Okay. And then just this last year, we've done a podcast and an article on regular and non-regular retirements as well. So people can get more details there talking about retirements. Okay, go on.
Another opportunity for IRR soldiers would be they're allowed to volunteer for mobilization opportunities on tour duty.
Okay.
So if they wanted to, say, have a good year, it's 50 points a year to have a good year. So if they wanted to do like a 90-day stretch and they're only looking for 90-day tours, they could search that on tour duty and say, hey, I want to go work for this place for 90 days. One active duty day is worth 1 point. They'd get 90 points for that year, and guess what? You have a good year for retirement.
Okay.
So there's a little bit more flexibility in the IRR if they're attached for points. There's no requirement for them to drill every single month. They determine which battle assemblies they would want to attend. They have to work that out with that command team where they're attached to. So if that flexibility is a positive side of being in the IRR and not being assigned to an actual regular line unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a really neat benefit to being in the IRR, both as enlisted and as an officer, is that you can attend professional military education while you're in the IRR. So this would mean if you're a specialist and you're inside of the IRR, then you could email our team box, which again is going to be in the show notes. You could say, hey, I would like to attend BLC. We would take that request, we'd provide everything back to you, and we would work with the school's team to get you a reservation to attend BLC. Now, enlisted soldiers for semi-centralized and centralized promotions, meaning E5 and above, cannot occur in the IRR. Decentralized promotions can occur in the IRR, and if they want more information about it, they can feel free to reach out to us. But for officers, they can get promoted if they're selected for promotion at their max time and grade.
Okay.
They would still have to go through the centralized promotion process and get selected. And again, they can reach out to us at our team box and we can provide them more information.
If they want to compete for promotion, no?
They're going to be opted in to a board.
Okay.
If they're educationally qualified and they're selected for a promotion, then they would be promoted at their max time and grade.
Okay.
If they continue to meet those qualifications. Now, if they didn't return, this is why Captain Robinson here said it's so important that you answer the mail. Now, say a soldier was selected for a promotion, say to captain, and in the meantime, they didn't return their 4145, which is the MSO election form, to say, yes, I would like to remain in the IRR. They could be involuntarily moved to the standby reserve inactive list. Now, if they're moved to that list, they lose their promotable status. They'd have to recompete the next year.
Okay.
So if you stay in that inactive list of the standby reserve for 12 months, then you're involuntarily discharged.
Yeah. Okay. More importance of why to stay connected.
Stay connected.
With your team. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
So the best way to make sure that your stuff is up to date, send us an email.
Okay.
And we'll get back to people within 72 business hours.
Okay. All right. Great. So let's see. Let's talk about how they can choose to return to active duty. Can they choose to return or in what other capacity? Could you explain the process?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, they can return to active duty. The soldier just needs to find an active duty recruiter. That recruiter can assist the soldier in completing the required conditional release, DD Form 368, and then they'll also ensure that the IR soldier completes a medical assessment through MEPS so that they can enter back onto active duty. But those conditional releases are processed by a different team here at HRC. We call them the Essential Personnel Services Branch, EPS, of RPMD. And if you contact any of our team members, we will ensure that you get pointed in the right direction for that.
Okay. All right. Good to know. As HRC manages IR program, what advice or tips could you offer to those currently serving in IRR?
I did have one thing to add, ma'am,
regarding
conditional releases. If they're going from IRR to National Guard, they'd still have to run that through the Essential Personnel Services team because they'd have to build basically like a release within IPSE. So it's very important that the soldiers stay plugged in with us to make sure that we can point them in the right direction for what they're trying to do.
Sure, and that's because National Guard is by the state.
Correct.
Yep. Right.
Correct. So it'd be like being on two sets of books at the same time. You have to make sure that you line it up.
So as soldiers, we can serve in any component of the department that we want, active duty, reserve, and guard. But guard has a little bit of difference because it's state, and active duty and reserve is managed at HRC, correct?
Correct. IPSE, though, is working to fix these
all
issues.
All the folks.
Which is great because National Guard used a different set of systems, as did active duty, as did reserve, whereas now we're all on one set of books. All three compos are within IPSE. So you can't be on National Guard books and reserve books at the same time anymore, whereas before you could.
Okay.
So we just have to make sure that if a soldier is trying to go to the National Guard or Air National Guard, we just have to make sure that we do the right thing for them before they do move on to what they'd like to do next.
Sure, and then I'll point our audience then to any tutorials on IPSE. Those are easily found just by a Google search on YouTube. And then if individuals make sure they have a DS login, that will also grant them access to the software and then other documents that are housed on the HRC site.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to add that the instructions for DS login in the event that an IR soldier does not have one, they are on HRC's website.
Okay.
So we can post it.
All right, so let's talk about then for the tips and advice to those currently serving in the IRR. Any top points?
Absolutely. PME, professional military education. These IRR soldiers can go to PME. I know I mentioned it before.
Yeah.
They should, while they're in the IRR. They should send us an email and we'll get you in the IRR soldier in contact with the right people and we'll get them registered and sent to professional military education so they can get promoted.
Okay.
Another tip would be just answer the mail. Answer the mail. If you don't answer, if you're an officer in the IRR and you don't answer your MSO election letter, you could potentially, after getting transferred to the standby reserve inactive list, potentially get discharged. We don't want that if the soldier doesn't want to do that. Another tip would be how can soldiers get the record brief updated? Seems to be a common theme for things that we've seen. Now, for reservists and even like meaning TPU soldiers and IRR soldiers and IMA soldiers, we're still using the RCMS record brief. Active duty is more using the soldier talent profile within IPSE. We have the ability to update both, but at this time, the RCMS record brief is what is being used by promotion boards for IRR soldiers.
Okay.
If they do want to update it, though, they can just reach out to our email box, and we'll provide them with an Excel file that they can fill out and they'll send it back to us, and then we can go ahead and update anything.
Okay, so I'll remind our audience again that your section provides administrative support to IRR personnel.
Correct.
All the tips you just gave.
Correct.
But you dropped a couple acronyms, and so I just wanted to make sure. IMA is the Individual Mobilization Augmentee.
Yes, ma'am.
Also part of your all's responsibility.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then we have the Individual Ready Reserve, and you said TPU.
Yes, Troop Program Unit. That would be a reservist.
Okay. Currently under a contract with a unit.
Correct. That would not be our team. That's just out in the field.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. What other tips and advice?
I just wanted to say IPSE. I don't know if that was on. Basically, the soldier can make updates in IPSE.
They can request, absolutely, 100%. Instead of emailing us, instead of IRR soldiers emailing us, they 100% can send us an admin, other personnel action request in IPSE.
Also known as a PAR.
PAR.
Yes, okay.
That's what it's called.
Right.
Inside of IPSE. So they can send us an admin, other PAR in IPSE.
Okay.
And I recommend that because then it's able to be tracked not only by the soldier but also by our team.
Yes.
But if they feel more comfortable sending us an email, that's totally fine as well.
Okay.
Another recommendation that we have is security clearances.
Okay.
You still have to maintain a security clearance when you're in the IRR.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have questions, if IRR soldiers have questions regarding their security clearance, they can reach out to the HRC security team, which will be linked in the show notes.
Okay.
Another tip. For enlisted soldiers in the IRR, if they're coming up on their ETS date and they think, you know, hey, I wish I just had some more time to take a knee and, you know, I still want to be affiliated with the military, but I just need some more time in an active ready reserve, you can re-enlist while you're in the IRR. If they do want to re-enlist, of course, they can always reach out to us if they have questions, which our email will be in the show notes. But the IRR retention team email will also be in the show notes.
Okay.
The IRR retention team is going to be the team that actually approves the soldier to re-enlist while they're in the IRR. Now, if officers wish to stay past their mandatory service obligation, their MSO, they can fill out the MSO worksheet, which is the AHRC 4145, and select option 2 to stay in the IRR. And then the officer essential personnel services team would then have to process that form.
Okay.
They could send it back by mail, or they could also send it over IPSE.
Okay, well, I just wanted to highlight for our audience that we just recently also did an article, a lengthy article, on serving in the IMA and the different ways that a soldier could still continue service through IMA. And so here we have just discussed IRR, a couple different options for personnel who are just finishing their contractual obligations. Okay, so tell us how people can find you.
They could send us an email to our team box. IRR soldiers can email us at usarmy.knox.hrc.mbx.rpmd-ima-irr-branch@army.mil. You could also find that email inside of the show notes. We regularly monitor that email box, and we'll respond within 72 business hours. I did just want to say a quick thank you to our division leadership, Colonel Jenny John, Sergeant Major Durbin, Lieutenant Colonel William S. Sergeant Smith, for selecting us to be here on this podcast. And again, we want to thank you for having us on this podcast
today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good points for our current soldiers. Okay, so thank you. I appreciate your time again. My guests today were Captain Caritha Robinson and Sergeant First Class Joshua Jensen, two Army leaders whose number one priority here at the U.S. Army Resources Command is always putting soldiers first. RPMD is just one of five directorates at HRC committed to serving our valued customers, soldiers, units, families, retirees, and veterans in ways that have a transformative impact on their careers and families. To our listeners, I hope you took away some valuable information today and will join us again next time. As always, we invite you to stay in touch with HRC by following us on social media and attending to our website. I'm your host, Ali Scott, and this is Your Personnel File. See you next time.
Your Personnel File is a monthly podcast brought to you by the Army Human Resources Command Public Affairs Office, located at Fort Knox. Our technical support was provided by the HRC audiovisual team. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Your Personnel File.